Eddie Betts joins us thanks to Fairmont Homes. Their 50th birthday bonus bash is on now. Visit Display Village to find out more. Good morning to you, Eddie.
Morning, guys.
Now, Ed, you're not wearing a wrist guard.
No, I'm not.
Because he probably figured you weren't going to tackle him this morning.
Now, what's the story, though, with the wrist, mate? Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay. It's just one of those little annoying things that's been hanging around for a while. You know, it happened 5 weeks ago, I'm pretty sure. Like, I can't really recall.
In a game, you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Could be at home with the kids.
I said yesterday, you've probably been from lugging Louie around.
Yeah, well, I slipped over at home a while back, and then, you know, this wrist injury started coming up. Well, it's not even an injury. It's just annoying. I can't really move it around. And
yeah, right.
The only way.
So it's your left hand.
The only way to cure it is to rest it, and this guard, you know, stops me from moving it around. So
did you aggravate it when you fell near the fence in the pocket?
Yeah, a little bit. Because I put my hands down and landed on it a bit and aggravated it. So yeah, I've just got to just rest it. But it's hard playing AFL footy. You can't really rest.
Yeah.
Your wrist when you're tackling and doing weights and all this kind of stuff. So we'll move on and we'll play with it.
So when you clench it, does it sort of seize up a bit? Is that the sort of feeling?
No, not really. Only when I push down on it and going to get.
Are you a doctor? Are you employed by the football club? What's going on over there with that?
We're just trying to make sure it's okay. Yeah.
I'm deeply worried about it.
Nah, you don't need to be worried.
No, all night.
As the propaganda arm of the football club, you should be saying, oh, in fact, it's amazing what he's doing over there with that left hand.
I can hold a coffee.
Yeah, exactly right.
It'll be like David Beckham's foot all those years ago where the Sun had the front page saying, pray for Beck's foot.
Well, yeah, that's a golden foot, one.
When was the last time you've won a game in Geelong?
It would have been under-18s, the Nationals, Vic Metro versus WA. Oh, no, we lost that one. Actually, Buddy kicked the goal after the siren.
Oh, really?
I haven't.
You haven't?
No, I haven't. Because when we played Geelong at Carlton, it was always at the MCG or Etihad.
So
we didn't play down at Skill. The only time I played at Skill in an AFL game was when I moved across the Cats. So haven't won yet, so...
What is it about Cardinia Park that makes it such a hard place to win?
I don't think it's Cardinia Park. I think it's the Geelong Football Club. You know, they've been a big powerhouse club for years. You know, back they won, you know, 4 premierships in the last 10 years. So yeah, they played a lot of footy together. So they're very, you know, great team. They're very structured and it's very hard to win down there, as teams know.
Now you're great mates with Danger. Have there been texts back and forth this week, or now that it's the business end of the season, is the relationship a little bit frostier?
No, I haven't texted Danger yet. I might text him, actually, to say that I'm a better fisherman than him. try get him off his game. So, yeah, I caught a bigger fish than you, mate.
But what do you think that'll be a factor at all? I mean, certainly there hasn't been the hype that there was ahead of our home game earlier this year where Danger came back.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that's the story this week. The story is... You know, huge game, so much on the line, and if the Crows win, it's you know, you've got, you know, one hand on a top two finish.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's you know, the build up's not around Danger. You know, like the last game we played here, we're going over there to play our way and play to our structures and hopefully get the 4 points. But as you said, it's really hard to go down and win at Cardinia Park. So we're going to go over there and give it our best shot.
Do you feel a bit more relieved about Josh Jenkins given media reports in the last 24 hours that he's going to re-sign?
What happened?
There's some suggestion that an agreement's been struck.
Well, that's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I would say nothing official from the
nothing
club.
Nothing signed. Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be great to have Josh down there. You know, he's an important player to our team and our forward structure. So, you know, hopefully he does stay.
Now, we understand, Eddie, that names don't get much bigger than this in the history of the Adelaide Football Club. Ben Jarman, son of Darren, has been out for a bit of a kick with the boys.
Yes, that's true. I think it was 2 weeks ago he came down and trained with us. Like, I seen this little kid sitting in the corner. I was like, who's this young kid? Until I said it was Ben Jarman, I was like, oh, I watched him the other week. He kicked like 4 goals
the under-18s.
Yeah, under-18s competition at Etihad Stadium.
He looked terrific.
Yeah, he came
down. A bit of the Eddie Betts about him, perhaps, in fact, as a small forward.
Yeah, coming to take my spot. he trained with us. He's only 17, I think, but he's very quick, very skillful. He put on the number 3 because Riley Knight wasn't training, and then I think Riley Knight cracked it a little bit and said, take that off, and then there was a spare number 10, so he put on Yenchi's number, so, and he trained with Yenchi, so, and the boys are getting stuck into him, saying he looked like Yenchi a little bit as well. So
how would that work under the father-son rule? Because he's
eligible for both Hawthorn and Adelaide, and he gets to choose if they both nominate him.
I think he can choose.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works.
I'm no soothsayer, but I'd suggest if he's out training with the Crows, they're probably looking all right.
Yeah.
In terms of where his head's at.
Does Darren live in South Australia?
I believe so.
Yeah, well, you'd think that if he's chosen to train with you guys, Eddie, it's a good sign. It's a good sign for Adelaide.
It is a great sign. He's such a skillful player as well. And, you know, with the big name with Jarman, the skill assets come along with it. So it should be good. But, I don't know how it works. And with the draft, it's a bit weird these days where you've got a point, you know, point system comes in, and if someone chooses to take him before the draft, you know, they got to lose all these points, and it's a convoluted
system.
Yeah.
But he would be the Crows' first father-son pick. I mean,
Have there ever been a father-son?
No, the Crows have never had a father-son. He would be the first. And I'm just thinking, I don't remember hearing about this a couple of weeks ago. Was there anything said to you guys about, you know, not putting too much pressure on him? Was it just about, do you get any instruction, or does he just turn up and he's out there with the boots on having a kick?
Yeah, well, I didn't know about it. Like I said, I just walked in to change him and see little guy. I didn't know who he was until they said his name was Ben Jarman and he's Jazz's boy. So we showed him some love and let him come out, and he showed us what he was capable of.
Has he got any cheek? Did he have any of the old man's sort of cheek?
It was a bit quiet.
Yeah,
you
know, okay.
As you would as a 17-year-old boy coming into the club. So it was pretty quiet.
So I'd heard some of Dom Pike's press conference yesterday where he was saying that, you know, on paper, we still haven't necessarily made the finals yet. The Crows still haven't won as many games this year as they did last year, and that there's a lot of footy to be played between now and finals action in September. So clearly the coach is saying, you know, let's just keep things in perspective and keep a lid on it. But I've got to say that the feeling among fans at the moment, I mean, I mentioned the other day, I was talking to a mate of mine who's already booked flights for grand final weekend. Are the guys starting to get a bit excited about it? You know, without getting carried away, but it must be a good feeling.
Yeah, not really. The boys, we're playing great footy at the moment, and like Don said, we're just taking it week by week. But, you know, and history says if you win 12 games, you're going to play some sort of finals footy. So it's in our hands now, in our destiny, for the next 5 to 6 weeks to see how far we can go.
Do you have the same sort of conversations internally that we in the media and members of the public do, though, about the importance of top two? Is that something that is being discussed about, you know, if you get that double chance in the home finals, you're really setting yourselves up for the best possible crack at it?
No, we don't. But I guess in saying that, you know, we've like we said, we take it week by week, and we just want to go out and win every single game that we can until season end. But you know, boys, if you could think that, like I think that personally, you know, if we get top two, we get a second chance. You know, I've really played in finals footy being at Carlton, so for me, yeah, I think that. But as a team, we go week by week, and we got Geelong this week, so it's going to be a tough task.
Former Crows coach Graham Corns made some interesting calls here on 5-double over the last week about perhaps resting players. I was just thinking about that as you were talking about wanting to go out there and win every single game. If a coach came to you and said, oh, Geelong's going to be pretty tough, Ed, have the week off, it must run so counter to what your natural feeling is about playing footy.
I'll say, nah, mate, I'll sit in the four pocket this week. We don't run that much anyway in the four pocket, just keep you down there. in saying that, you know, I watched Jordan Lewis speak the other day, and he said if they're going to have two buys, you know, have them during the year because they got to buy at the end of season, so yeah, going into finals. So if guys need a rest, that's when they can rest there. So, yeah, I'm not sure about resting players because we want to go out and win every single game that we can.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully that will be the case on Saturday night in Geelong, Eddie. Thanks again for coming in. It's always great to see you, and go and send that rude text message to Paddy Dangerfield. Have you got a fun fact, though, before we go?
Yes, I do, actually. I'll get that up now. Let me just go.
We should put these into a book or something.
Yeah, we should, actually. We should put them all up.
Yeah, Eddie's fun fact.
It's not really a fact. Or basically, yeah, it is. It goes, the last time Crows beat Cats in Geelong was round 10, 2003, when Mark Bickley was the best Crows player.
Well, that's a typo.
Also that year, John Howard was the Prime Minister, and the Nokia phone was the coolest phone going around.
Is that right?
Yeah. And Finding Nemo was a big movie.
Maybe you should hang around. Maybe just Skip for his, you know, he might have some insights, some secrets, what he did on the day. I'm sure he'll be happy to tell you about it.
apparently, that year, Jake Lever started primary school as well. That long ago.
Yeah, you know, that year I would have been playing snakes on my Nokia phone. You know, snakes. You press 3 and 7 to change
it's not quite Pokemon Go, is it?
I got one thing on Pokemon. I didn't know what it was about, and there was a lot of people at the front of my house, and I connected to Pokemon, and there's a gym at the front of my house, so where people come to battle each other.
Yeah.
And it's right at the front of my house.
So what, they're just all lingering around?
And I got home the other day from, when we played, I think it was Carlton, and Anna's like, there's people at the front, I'm going to call the cops. So and when I got home, I got on the app, and I found out there was a gym at the front of my house, and I was like, nah, they're playing Pokemon. It's like 6 o'clock there till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And one year, a car's been broken into twice at the front of my house, so I'm like, who the hell are these people at the front of my house? I'm calling the cops.
Righto, break it up, you Pokemon Go types.
That's right. Don't keep your stuff.
That is tremendous.
Pocket up at night looking at the Pokemons either.
That's right. Yeah, we'll shut that gym down quick smart.
Absolutely.